At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
These guys at the GCRN would make great Green Lantern Corps members. Seriously. Who are these guys?
Beyond good. Beyond evil. Beyond your wildest imagination.
Welcome to Dragon Training. Today, you will learn to fight dragons.
Pain. Love it.
Let's get started!
You should come by sometime to work out. You look like you work out.
I guess it's just you and me, huh?
No, just you.
Huh? Focus, Hiccup!
Can I transfer to the class with the cool Vikings?
Whoa. Has anyone ever tried to train a dragon?
No one's ever lived to tell the tale.
It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. Let's see if this works. We're gonna take this nice and slow. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Whoa!
Yeah! Get down!
It's okay. You just scared him.
I scared him?
Everything we know about them
is wrong.
Let me show you.
Either we finish them, or they'll finish us.
Fire! We don't have to fight them.
Whoa. Cool.
Go, baby!
No matter how this ends, it ends today.
What are you gonna do?
Something crazy.
I'm in.
Me too.
Sign me up. I love this plan.
Go.
Yeah! DreamWorks, How to Train Your Dragon.
It's like the size of my... Oh, get it off!
In 3D.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcaster Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm your host, TFJ Mike, and making his Toon Beyond Season 2 debut is Sketch 1984. Hello.
Hey. Happy to
How's
be
it
back.
Going?
Oh, boy, man. Overworked and underpaid.
Yeah. It's a long ways away from Season 1 of Tooncast Beyond.
Yeah. And, on the bright side, I have better recording audio now. Woohoo!
Yay! Yeah, there was a couple of people saying, you guys know that Sketch's audio is kind of meh in Season 1 on some of his episodes. I was like, yeah, we'll get that fixed eventually.
Yeah, that really bums me out because, like, I'm very passionate about some of those shows we talked about, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think your passion shine through, but it's just the overall audio quality of your Rock Band mic or whatever else you were using. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the Rock Band mic at the time.
Yeah, and apparently today we're going to be training some dragons. Oh boy. All right, so. I, up until about, this episode will go up, a couple weeks from when we're actually recording it. I just, as of this recording, as we're recording it right this very moment, about 16 hours ago, I watched How to Train Your Dragon for the very first time ever.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't anything that, like, required my immediate attention. Yes, I thought the trailer was amazing. Yes, all the clips I had seen of it when it originally came out, I thought it was great, but it just wasn't on my radar. And I think so far what DreamWorks has done to that to this point in their history just didn't it didn't really register with me that I absolutely had to see this film.
Understandable. There were some stinkers from DreamWorks between their early career and when Dragons came out.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, because you got the Shrek movies, you got Ants, Chicken Run, Shark Tale, Madagascar, Over the Hedge, and Kung Fu Panda. And we're now at.
Shark Tale.
Oh, God. Yeah, Shark Tale. Ugh. God, that movie sucked. But yeah, no, we you know, the whole point of me creating the season two schedule of Toon Beyond with DreamWorks is we went from we're going to be going from when they started doing animation, which was Shrek was their first big feature, to their final, or not final, but
But
to the
Ants
point of
came out before Shrek.
what?
Ants came out before Shrek.
Oh, okay, maybe it did. All right, well, Shrek wasn't their first, but
Yeah.
it was their first. It's the one they're most known for, I would say.
Oh, definitely.
The Shrek franchise is my point here. I tried to go in release order, but I don't know. It's just one of those things where stuff got moved around, and at the time when I made the schedule for season two, at the time Flushed Away, which will be in a few weeks, 10 episodes from now, was the final was the cutoff point for me, because they hadn't released anything past that at the time, or nothing had come out that I could actually, you know, be able to cover before then. So, but anyway, Dragons. Let's talk about some Dragons here.
Yes.
When did you first see this? Did you go to the theater and see
I
this?
didn't. I didn't see it in
Okay.
the theater. Didn't see it in 3D. I didn't see it until it came out on DVD. I rented it. Yeah. I kind of regret not seeing it in theaters because, you know, there's a lot of movies that don't make good use of 3D, but this one apparently did.
Yeah. So just to set the stage and give some people some background information, How to Train Your Dragon is a 2010 3D American computer animated fantasy film by DreamWorks Animation, loosely based on the English 2003 book of the same name. The film was directed by Chris Sanders and Dean DeBlois, or DeBlois. Ugh, why do you want a DeBlois? Ugh, sounds like a bad Family Guy character.
How long were you working on that joke?
About 2 seconds.
So you have about the same writing capacity as a Family Guy writer.
Oh, fuck you, you're fired.
Well, in that instance, you did. Anyway, I'm sorry
Well, it was
you
either that or DeBlois Lane. I mean, I didn't want to, you know,
Oh!
Lois Lane's name.
Yeah, but Superman was a while ago.
That's true. The duo who directed Disney's Lilo and Stitch, the story takes place in a mythical Viking world where a young Viking teenager named Hiccup aspires to follow his tribe's tradition of becoming a dragon slayer.
Leaves their kid up.
Okay, right there. Okay, now I'm not gonna be overtly negative about this film. I really enjoyed watching it. I thought it was a great story, and we're gonna get into all that here in a minute, but I'm sorry. When I first saw this, and when I first read this of what the character's the lead character's name is, I'm like, I just can't get into a film that has the lead character named after an involuntary bodily function. I mean, come on, a character
That's
named
like
Hiccup.
betting your money on somebody named Fart or Sneeze.
Well, Farfignugan, I mean, you know,
All right.
that's a horse of a different color, and Pinky wouldn't really. Anyway, sorry, that's Animaniacs jokes right there.
No.
Narf. Oh God. film was released March 26, 2010, and was well received by critics. The who's who of this film, it reads not like I thought it would. Very, very unique actors lending their voices in this one. And I think that, I guess you could say this about all animation studios or animation companies, that they sometimes will go after the celebrity voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think DreamWorks, overall, they are pretty much the masters of trying to get celebrity voices.
Yeah, I would say they probably spend the majority of their budget on getting actors.
Well, you know, when Chris Rock plays a mosquito, you got to pay him $1 million. I mean,
yeah, and it's the easiest job in the world.
Yeah, really. But the voice cast includes Jay Baruchel, Gerard Butler, Craig Ferguson, America Ferrara. It sounds like an American Ferrari. Holy crap.
That was ugly, babe.
Oh God, I hated that character. I can't stand that guy. That guy needs to get out of acting right now.
And don't make any more shows, for the love of God.
Damn right.
That was a horrible show. Horrible.
Kristen Wiig, Ashley Jensen. Holy crap! You got a Doctor Who reference in here with David Tennant.
Yeah, they had one of the doctors in there. That I did not know that until I was looking at the cast.
Wow. That's a police box of another color.
Yeah.
Overall, I like the voice cast. I don't have an issue with them. They are, you know, they really bring the characters to life. I'm surprised the producers and the director did not go the Shrek route of having the animals talk.
Yeah.
I think if Toothless or any of the other dragons actually talked versus not talking would take away from the emotional or the, you know, the really awesome plot of the story as far as
it wouldn't because
the whole point is there from what I got gathered from watching the film, the whole point is the dragons' reactions to the humans and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like there's a scene where they're like, eek, a dragon, slay it, kill it. It's only scared of you. Scared of me, I was scared of it. And then Hiccup goes over and, I don't know, kind of does like one of those like dog stares where you crink your neck and, you know, just like raise your eyebrow, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, all of that stuff, it wouldn't have worked if the dragons talked.
Right, right, exactly.
And if the dragons talked, let's just... If the dragon stalks, chances are this movie would not be nearly as charming as it was.
Yes, exactly.
I don't need to hear Eddie Murphy coming out of a dragon.
Wouldn't that be a drunkie?
A drunkie? Oh gosh. What is with the... Oh boy. Dragon donkeys.
Oh boy.
Dragon donkey. I love drunkie. That's awesome.
Alright, so getting into... Alright, what did you think of the voice cast overall?
Great voice cast. I really like Jay Baruchel. Yeah, I thought it was great that he had a main role in this, and I actually really appreciate that he's stuck on for the cartoon that followed.
Yeah.
You know, they got lots of guys that could do Scottish accents. That was...
Surprised Mike Myers isn't in this, actually.
Yeah, I could not hardly believe Mike Myers wasn't in it, but they probably ran out of budget.
Yeah, they probably ran out of budget, and they don't want to cross over the whole me big green ogre thing.
I'm pretty sure Jack Black was in at least two DreamWorks movies.
Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2.
No. Wasn't he in Shark Tale?
Jack Black? No, that was Will Smith.
No, the... Lenny the Shark.
Man, I would have to go back and look at it. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure that was Jack Black, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. So getting into the plot of How to Train Your Dragon. The island of Berk has been plagued by attacks from dragons that steal the livestock and burn their homes. Hiccup, the awkward son of the village chieftain, Stoic the Vast? Stoic, Stoic, I don't know. Uses a cannon contraption he invented and shoots down a dragon he thinks may be a Night Fury, a rare dragon nobody has ever actually seen. Hiccup locates the dragon in the forest and finds he is unable to kill the helpless animal. Hiccup instead cuts it free, and the dragon disappears into the forest. Meanwhile, Stoic, or Mr. Ick, assembles a fleet to seek out the dragon nest, and before he leaves, he places Hiccup in dragon-killing classes taught by Gobber. Ooh, sounds like a Teddy Ruxpin friend. Oh, wait, no, that was Grubby. The village blacksmith.
And wasn't Grubby a gummy bear?
No, that's... You're thinking of,
I'm not thinking of Cubby.
No. Yeah, wait. Then who the hell... No, Grubby is the Teddy Ruxpin snail-looking thing.
Oh, okay.
Teddy's friend. Grubby.
I'm failing at the 80s tonight.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Searching the forest, Hiccup finds the dragon trapped in a shallow glade, and the dragon's tail is injured, preventing it from flying normally. By trial and error, Hiccup discovers a way to earn the dragon's trust and begins to care for it. He names the Night Fury Toothless for its retractable teeth. Interesting. And then, you know, the whole story here is that instead of becoming a dragon slayer, Mr. Involuntary Bodily Reflex wants to train the dragons and become their friends. I just watched this movie just over 16 hours ago, and for the life of me, I can't see a villain in this film.
There really isn't a villain, per se.
It's just all the other dragons that don't want to be trained, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's a conflict, and there's... Yeah. Gosh, wasn't there some kind of danger in the cave that they needed the dragons for?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the villain of the film, but there's no villain, there's just a conflict.
Yeah, pretty much. Overall, I really like the story. It reminds me so much, and this is going to sound weird. For those of you Sean Connery fans or James Bond fans, it reminds me of... so much of Dragonheart. It really does.
I've just decided that it would have been acceptable if one of the dragons talked and it was Sean Connery. I have just decided that right now.
In another realm that would have worked, but not in this one.
You know you want to hear Sean Connery's voice coming out of Toothless.
I don't know about that.
What kind of name is Hiccup? An involuntary bodily function, lad.
Oh my god.
I thought my parents were cruel.
what did you think of the overall plot in the story?
I thought it was a pretty good story, pretty basic. It's all about the villagers coming to understand that dragons aren't horrible things, that they can coexist with the humans.
Right.
And I guess that there is a message in there about coexisting with things or people that are different than you.
Right.
And they kind of beat you over the head with that message.
Yeah.
But mostly, it's just a pretty fun movie with enjoyable characters.
Yeah, it really is. I almost get the vibe of a... I don't know. I was going to say I almost get a racial vibe.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason why, let me clarify that for the listeners. The reason why I say I think this is a racial film is because you have the human race and the dragon race, and the humans hate the dragons. So, well, most of them.
Well, this is going to sound awful because at the end of it, the dragons kind of become their slave.
Oh, God. That's right. Well. Oh, my God.
They become pets. They become pet. Oh gosh, that's even worse.
Become Oh my god, we've dug ourselves into a hole.
This movie has a terrible message. Do not let your children see it, and don't let them watch the TV show.
I've often said, I said it a couple weeks ago when we did the Kung Fu Panda episode, any of these DreamWorks films or any film that we cover in Tooncast Beyond that has an eventual television series later, like Penguins of Madagascar, like Kung Fu Panda, Legend of Awesomeness, whatever the hell the name of the TV series is, like DreamWorks Dragons, Riders of Berk. All of those cartoon series, those television series, will be covered in a later season of Tooncast Beyond. We have entire seasons dedicated to Cartoon Network shows and all that other stuff. So right now we're just focusing or trying to focus on what a really awesome-looking film this is, yet it has a really, really bad message, apparently, that we didn't really see until we talked it out.
Yeah. they tried to fool us all with this happy, positive, let's all learn to coexist movie, but it's all about slavery.
Oh my god. Oh god. Alright, so we need to move on before we get ourselves into more trouble.
Oh boy. It's still an entertaining movie.
It surprises me that, because I believe, yes, it is a very entertaining movie. You're correct. I'm trying to see if this dude
is... It's also got some empowerment for cripples.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the one good positive message that can't be tainted.
Yes. A racial movie dealing with handicapped people.
Hiccup is handy capable. Well, film is.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's spoiled.
This entire episode should
be
scrapped.
I was actually surprised that they did that in the movie. I was kind of shocked that they would show Hiccup getting injured like that. That was good on you, DreamWorks, for not pulling any punches.
That's right. And what I really find surprising about this film, you know, we've talked here in season two of Tooncast Beyond the DreamWorks season. I don't know if you've been listening to season two, because I don't know if you listen to the show in general, but we've mentioned before how Jeffrey Katzenberg used to be at Disney, and he is now at DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
What shocks me about How to Train Your Dragon is that it is co-written and directed by Chris Sanders, the voice of Stitch.
The voice of Stitch.
Yes. Isn't that very, very amusing?
Okay, seriously, they must have given him that role because anybody can do that voice. It's I want to be a character in my movie.
Yeah, but he does it so well, though.
Yes, he does. Well, of course he does it well, because he's the guy who originated the voice.
Yes, that's right. this entire
movie. Yeah, it does feel like a Disney movie.
Yeah, it really does. It does not feel like a
DreamWorks. Way more heart than a DreamWorks movie usually does.
Ain't that the truth?
Which is good. You know, it's good to see them branch out and not just, you know, obviously they shoveled quite a few celebrities into the cast, but there's also, you know, plenty of people cast that aren't celebrities per se. They're actors already, but they don't, they're not huge names.
Yeah.
And this will help their careers for one thing.
I think the only, and I could be wrong about this, but the only other time I've ever really heard Jay Baruchel's name, and this is going to sound really sad, is The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah, he was in The Sorcerer's Apprentice with Nicolas Cage.
Oh my god.
But, oh gosh, he's he's like the guy that you call when you can't get that other guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Mac guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name? Who was in Die Hard?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
I can remember that guy's name, but it's not Kamatobi. But yeah. Jay's like a younger version of him. But yeah. He was in Undeclared, that Judd Apatow show about college, and I really liked him in that.
Yeah.
He's good as an underdog character.
Yeah. Overall, How to Train Your Dragon has a lot of heart. I have seen part of the cartoon series, and it's good.
I find it kind of unremarkable, and it beats you over the head with messages. It looks amazing, though, for a CGI cartoon amazing. On TV. I was like, no way, is this actually a TV show?
Yeah.
This is great.
What I find interesting about the film, besides the story and the plot and the animation, is the music, because John Powell returned to DreamWorks Animation to score How to Train Your Dragon, making it his sixth collaboration with the studio, following his previous score for Kung Fu Panda, which he scored with Hans Zimmer. Powell composed a very orchestral score, combining bombastic brass with loud percussion and soothing strings, while also using exotic Scottish and Irish tones with instruments like the penny whistle and bagpipes. Additionally, Icelandic singer Jonsi, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, wrote and performed the song Sticks and Stones for the film. The score was released by Varese Summary on March 23rd, 2010. Overall, the score was very well received by film score critics. Powell earned his very first Academy Award nomination for his work on the film, ultimately losing to Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for their score in The Social Network. Oh, man.
Really?
Yes.
The score of The Social Network? I don't remember that score being that great.
No. Well, the score for How to Train Your Dragon lost to the soundtrack for Social Network.
That's
ridiculous. I don't know. I kind of like the soundtrack Social Network anyway.
I don't think it's quite as good.
I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying that I liked the score to the movie. All right, so. As far as box office, Dragon tapped the North American box office with $43.7 million in its first weekend of release. The film grossed just north of $217 million in the United States and Canada, and $277 million in foreign countries, with a worldwide total of $494 million and change. How to Train Your Dragon is DreamWorks Animation's highest-grossing film in the American or Canadian box office, other than the Shrek films. It is the fifth highest-grossing animated film of 2010, with $494.8 million behind Toy Story 3. And it's also behind Shrek Forever After and Tangled and Despicable Me. And the 10th highest-grossing movie of 2010.
Wow, it beat Tangled? I mean, it didn't beat Tangled? I thought it would have beat Tangled.
No, Tangled had $576.6 million.
And Despicable Me beat it too. Both of those are very good films, so
I'm not
complaining, but
right.
Still haven't seen Shrek Forever After. I heard it was better than the third. That's not hard to accomplish.
It's a very nice ending to that franchise.
I'll check it out sometime.
Yeah, sure you will. Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars. Well. At least he gave it a positive rating. It has been nominated and won a ton of awards, between the Academy Awards, the Annie Awards, British Academy Film Awards, Broadcast Film. It's just deservedly so. This movie is just absolutely amazing. It won Visual Effects Society Awards. Just absolutely great. All right, so we are the IGN replacement crew, 1 to 4. Just to remind everybody, 1 is don't watch it even if it's free. 2 is worth a watch if it's free on TV. 3 is worth adding to the Netflix list. Or 4 is this one is a must add to your DVD collection. What do you give it?
I'd give it 3.5. If there's a DreamWorks movie to own besides maybe like the first Shrek,
okay,
then yeah, it's this one.
Okay.
It's good. It's rewatchable.
I would have to agree, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a solid 4 because regardless of us analyzing it and finding the hidden awful messages in it.
Okay, you know, yeah, buy this one to support DreamWorks making more movies like this, but without the slavery undertones.
I was going to say, I thought you were actually going to say, support DreamWorks as they run child sweatshops to make DVDs.
Why would I say? They probably do that, actually.
Probably. Oh, God, we have really butchered this movie. Without really saying a bad thing about it. All right. It is on home.
How do you say a bad thing about a movie without saying a bad thing about a movie?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I have no idea what I'm doing right now. So as far as the home media, Dragon was released on single disc, two disc, DVD and Blu-ray combo pack in Canada and the United States on Friday, October 15th, 2010. Among the features available in the two-disc DVD edition is an original sequel short film, Legend of the Bone...
Napper
Dragon? Okay. I was going to say...
You're going to say Bone Raper?
No, I was going to say Ka-Napper and pronounce the K, but... as of July 18th, 2012, units sold for the DVD stand at more than 6.5 million copies and has grossed just over $121 million for DVD sales. So if you add the DVD sales into the 494.6, this film is made overall between theaters and DVD. It's made over 500. That's not a bad thing at all.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently there are going to be sequels. Three post-movie short films were released, Legend of the Bone Napper Dragon, Book of Dragons, and Gift of the Night Fury. A sequel to High Attorney Dragon 2 was confirmed in April 27, 2010. The film is being directed and written by Dean DeBlois and co-director of the first film, Bonnie Arnold. The producer of the first film is also returning with Chris Sanders, co-directed first film, only exec producing this time. The film is scheduled for release on June 20th, 2014. And it was announced that the entire original voice cast would be returning as well. On December 3rd, 2010, DreamWorks CEO Jeffrey Katzenberg confirmed that at least one more sequel is being planned after How to Train Your Dragon 2, making the series a trilogy. I don't mind that. I think with these companies now, not just DreamWorks, but with Disney, with all these animation studios that have these, you know, big giant films like How to Train Your Dragon, and then they go to do a cartoon, and then they're like, oh, well, the cartoon is the filler to lead up to the second movie, and that's all well and good. I like that. That's fine. But if the cartoon is set in its own universe and has nothing to do with the film, that's fine too. But I find that sometimes when you're eventually going to have a trilogy, you pigeonhole yourself, you know, with doing a cartoon series, a television series and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm optimistic to see what the sequel does and to, you know, see what kind of stories it tells and what kind of story the third film might tell. So you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be interesting to see what kind of stories they come up with for the films.
Yeah. Let's see. There is a video game, action-adventure video game released by Activision called How to Train Your Dragon. It was released for the Wii, Xbox 360, PS3, and Nintendo DS gaming consoles. It is loosely based on the film and was released on March 23rd, 2010. I'm not sure about... as we all know, most movie games suck.
Yeah.
Does it
play anything like Panzer Dragoon? Because if it doesn't, then forget about it.
I don't know. All as I know is that, and this isn't a slight against How to Train Your Dragon, it's not a slight against the movie, I'm saying most any movie game, no matter what movie it is, it could be the worst movie in the world and the game would still suck, even more than the movie does. Apparently there is an ice show, Broadway style.
How to Train Your Dragon on Ice.
It's currently on Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas.
That gives me a very odd visual of somebody trying to train a dragon to ice skate.
Yeah. Well, there's also an arena show, apparently. How to Train Your Dragon Arena Spectacular is an arena show adaptation of the first film featuring 24 animatronic dragons, acrobats, and projections. It premiered on March 2nd, 2012 in Melbourne, Australia. I just don't even know. I think we have to...
I don't want to see How to Train Your Dragon on ice. I want to see How to Train Your Dragon on drugs.
And on that note, commercial break time, ladies and gentlemen.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The GeekCast Radio Network has launched Mask to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Ah, welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by GeekCast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How could we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
For you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Oh boy, this has been one weird hell of a funny 30-minute recording. Holy crap.
I've enjoyed myself.
Final thoughts on How to Train Your Dragon.
It's a good movie. It's a... There may be more to it than we think, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, this is something I can watch again in a few months. Very, very, very awesome stuff. All right, you. What do you got going on? We haven't talked to you in a while, so what do you got going on? Or blogs or podcasts or.
Well, I am. I used to be regularly, and now I'm just occasionally on the unofficial Toonami podcast at ToonamiPodcast.com. I've been doing videos on my new YouTube channel, Sketch Cartoon Guy, and still writing articles for Nick and More. I got way, way behind on the Green Lantern reviews for World's Finest. I imagine they're getting kind of fed up with me. And right about now, I was like, hey, you need somebody to review the new Ninja Turtles?
Oh, no.
They're like, yeah, we do, but we're not coming to you. Yeah, I've been losing hobby work lately because I've been busy with work. But other than that, I usually find time to poke around Twitter.
Yeah, and not check direct messages for, Spidey interviews. Oops.
Oh! Oh man.
Alright, so that's gonna do it. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. You can also email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. I almost forgot the .com part. Follow us on Twitter. Short name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFJ and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the regular network updates as well. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be buzzing around a B-movie. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Sketch1984. And what's the deal with this honeycomb?
Worst Seinfeld impression ever. Until next time.
Are you saying somebody will do it worse next time? Oh,
probably. No, I'm saying you're doing it bad now.
I know.
Good night, everybody.
If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.